What's up? What's up, people? Welcome back to another episode of the All That Podcast today. We're doing something a little different. You know, usually I do one-on-ones, but today I have some special guests with me to talk about a hot topic. I have Andrew. Yep. Say what's up to the people.
What's up, Andrew Walls?
I have Diane.
Hello.
I have Lorena.
Hello.
I have Langston.
What's poppin'?
And I have my uncle, Anthony.
Hello.
Now, my uncle being on here is going to cause me a lot of trouble because, you know, all my family is like, hey, invite me on the show. You know, my Sean, right before we left the house, what did my dad say?
Very true.
Exactly. So, you know, it's all right, though. You're my boy.
Why my own son don't put me on?
Right.
My own son, man, don't put me on the podcast.
The next podcast that comes out. Okay, Anthony. But, so, we're here to talk about a very hot topic. It's a topic that's been hot for a long time.
Very long time.
It's just, you know, it's just, but there's certain instances in pop culture that reignites, I guess, the conversation. And that happened again with the Gina Rodriguez controversy with her. For those of you who don't know, she was rapping along to the Fugees song, Ready or Not, on Instagram, on her Instagram story. And she said the line in the song where she, you know, Lauren was like, niggas give me heebie-jeebies. And then it was a lot of controversy on the internet, which, you know, had a lot of mixed opinions. So I went to my Insta story, and I dedicated like a whole day to just that topic, just to see, you know, what people were thinking. And I got a lot of great feedback. Some people didn't agree with me. Some people were bucking against me, Latinas, but they were bucking against me. And so I was like, you know, I think this would be a good discussion for us to have and talk about the appropriateness of who and who cannot use the N-word. So for the longest time, you know, usually, you know, my girlfriend now is black, but for a long time, you know, I dated Hispanic girls and I would, you know, let them use that word around me, and it really didn't bother me, even if, you know, it was a girl I was dating or, you know, my Hispanic friends. But at some point, I started spending time around older Hispanic people and their families, and I started to see how they viewed black people. And I started, you know, I came to the realization that especially a lot of older Hispanic people are just as racist as white people. So when I started to realize that, then I became kind of uncomfortable with any Hispanic, no matter if you, you know, speak up for Black Lives Matter or you're quote-unquote woke, or even if you're Cardi B. you know, I became uncomfortable with that because of that realization. And so, and it's not something that I think, okay, if you use the N-word, you're a racist. Like, you. But it is something that just the appropriateness of the use of the word needs to be discussed. And Lorena, I want to start with you because you come from that community of Hispanics, and we're going to take a break and we'll be back. To my listeners that's under 30, that's single, no kids, I have a question. When you hear the terms life insurance, health insurance, or annuities, what is the first thing you think about? If you're like me, it's a whole people 50, 60, 70, or people who's married and have kids. That's what I would think about when I thought about life insurance, the health insurance, or annuities. And that's until I met this short little Mexican guy by the name of Albert Diaz. Albert is a financial consultant, and he is the person who made me realize the importance of getting on top of your finances at a young age, no matter if you're married or not, or if you have kids or not. He made me realize the importance of setting yourself up for greatness when it comes to your finances at a young age. This guy helps people make money, save money, and pay less taxes. And you don't need $1,000 to get started. That's a myth, and Albert will help you realize that. Give Albert a call at 713-899-8107. Again, that's 713-899-8107. Be sure to tell him that the All That Podcast sent you. Okay, Lorena, I want to start with you on this topic of, you know, a lot of people from the Hispanic community feeling like you know, they have a right, especially Afro-Latinas, because they're like, you know, the slaves just passed in South America first. We have right to the word, blah, blah, blah. So you coming from that community, can you speak on your experience with people thinking like that? And can you also give your personal feelings on the N-word?
Okay, so I am from Queens, New York, right? And in my household, that word was never used. Mm-hmm. I don't think I really heard it until I moved to Connecticut, and I was in a neighborhood with a lot of black people. And I started going to school there, and so you heard it from, like, the kids and, like, the parents and just in the neighborhood. And I was just kind of like, what? But it was everywhere, you know? But since I didn't grow up hearing the word, once I got there, I didn't just, like, pick it up. And I was like, oh, the N-word here and the N-word there. For Afro-Latinos, it's a hard subject. Because, I mean, they are from African descent, but they didn't necessarily go through the same things that black people in America did.
Right.
And that's where the word came from. That word is American-made. So I think that's kind of why black people from America feel like that's our word, and you as an Afro-Latina shouldn't use it because you're not black like I'm black.
Mm-hmm.
But if you stand an Afro-Latina and a black person from America next to each other, you can't really tell them apart. You know? They look the same to somebody who
people
doesn't know them.
Just last night, I was out, and, you know, people were like, I mean, one reason is because I was dancing Hispanic music. But they were like, are you Dominican?
Yeah.
I get that a lot. Like, people think I'm Dominican all the time. Or Puerto Rican, yes.
Yeah, sure. I mean, the Dominican Republic has a lot of Afro-Latinas. I mean, you take Amara La Negra from Love and Hip Hop,
mm-hmm.
She looks black. Had I not known that she was from the Dominican Republic, I would have just assumed she was black from here.
I thought Cardi was black.
Exactly, you know.
First time she came out.
And so it's just like, that's why I think when it comes to Afro-Latinos, it's kind of just like a gray area. But I do think, I mean, I can't speak on that. I'm very light-skinned. So I don't know what Afro-Latinos go through on a daily, day-to-day type of thing. I don't know if they're treated the same mm-hmm. as African-Americans. So I can't speak too much on that. But as far as Latinos in general, I think we have to understand that even if we grew up, like, in the Bronx, like Cardi B,
mm-hmm.
Or even Gina Rodriguez, I think she grew up in a kind of urban area. You have to understand that even if you grow up in that environment and your environment changes and maybe you have this platform, I mean, I personally think Gina Rodriguez knew better.
Mm-hmm.
Come on. You put that on Instagram. Yeah.
Just true. So casually, too.
Yeah. You know? And
her
it's
apology
like,
was like, okay, I'm sorry.
And it's just like, we all know Cardi uses it on the regular. Like, it's right. just part of the way she speaks and expresses herself and all that.
And
you
speaking
don't,
of Cardi, though, why do we... And I want anybody to chime in on this. Why do we give her a pass? Because we'll come for Gina.
It's so, hip-hop, though.
It's hip-hop, one. Uh-huh. But you also, like you just said, when she first came out, you thought she was black.
True.
So what changed? Like, you thought it was okay then,
mm-hmm.
and then you found out she's not black American, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
But I guess coming from you, how do you switch on, oh, she can't say it anymore now?
I wasn't necessarily one of those people. Like I said, I'm still, like, you know, grappling with that situation.
Right.
You know, but when I made my Insta post, I was not talking about, like, my specific views.
Yeah.
I was talking about, like, on a broader scale.
Right.
Like, who should use it and who shouldn't use it. And at the bottom, at, you know, just period, I think that the people, whoever were oppressed by that word should be the gatekeepers of that word. Should be the person who decides who can and who can't use it.
Okay, I get mm-hmm. that. But then that goes back to, like, she was saying, I mean, well, she brought up the topic of Afro-Latinos. She's not sure how they may be affected mm-hmm. in America, looking black but being Latino.
Right.
I feel like, in a sense, to many races, it doesn't matter.
No doubt.
Yeah. You're
so
just black.
Exactly. You're mm-hmm. you're black. I don't care if you speak Spanish. You're still black. And so they still face that same type of racism. They still face that. So would that give them the, would they be gatekeepers now, like you just said?
Not necessarily. because I think that conversation or that rift has to do with our battle with each other.
Yeah.
It's like, because, you know, I was alluding to the fact of how a lot of Hispanics feel about blacks.
Yeah.
And, you know, so we, you know, they have this battle with each other. And so I think that's where the, even though we all are like minorities, we, you know, we've been right. oppressed. But I think that word and the experiences we've had correlated with our, you know, with that word are specific to black Americans with that particular word. And so now we're like, okay, you don't like us. So why are you saying nigga? Like,
yeah.
That's our word.
Right.
Like, one thing that black people have done over history and still have are doing right now is we have this, like, magic. We take trash
yeah.
or whatever and make it into this beautiful thing. Think about soul food. Like, it
right.
was literally scraps given
right.
given from slave masters, and now it's
so
something
good.
That everybody enjoys. Or you think about the word nigga.
Yeah.
It was used in this way.
So,
and now, right. with because of Richard Pryor and, you know, rap music, it's poetry. It's like a term of endearment between me and my brother.
Right.
You know what I mean?
And I agree with you on that point.
Yeah.
But that's something more our generation has done.
For sure. That's why I brought my uncle in.
Right.
And I'm going to segue to him.
Go ahead.
And so as somebody who grew up, because you will have a different mindset than we will when it comes to that word, obviously, because what he just said, you grew up in a different, born in the 60s. So that word carried a lot of different weight for you. Like for us, we were introduced to that word through rap, pretty much. And so it has a whole different, you know, meaning to us. So when you hear somebody, even a young black kids, not just another race, use that word, how does that affect you?
Well, honestly, it doesn't have very much of an impact now.
Okay.
The reason for that is, okay, I've evolved, you know, due to a generational difference between me and the rest of you guys.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, earlier in life, the word did bother me. It was the word to become incensed about. It's the word that oftentimes people would fight over.
Mm-hmm.
As I got older and I realized, okay, exactly what you kind of touched upon, okay, due to the resilience of black people, we took that word and made it ours.
Right.
You know, and instead of it being a negative, it became a positive. So I evolved into that, and then as I got even a little older, I saw the word as, you know, and I looked at language in general. Any language, regardless whether it's English or any language, is arbitrarily used. And you take a word such as the N-word, nigga, whatever,
mm-hmm.
okay, and it has the meaning that we assign to it. So you take B-A-S-S, okay, it could either mean a fish or it could mean music.
Mm-hmm.
So, okay, you take B-A-S-E, and it's pronounced bass just like B-A-S-S. Okay, so the point is, these are meanings that we have arbitrarily assigned to these words. So with that said, okay, we are human, we have minds. Okay, and I've come to the conclusion that based on how you think and based on how you allow yourself to think, then that assigns that meaning to that word. And we don't have to necessarily salivate at the mouth like the Pavlovian dog.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we
mm-hmm.
have been conditioned.
Mm-hmm.
We have been conditioned through history
right.
to respond a certain way to that word.
Mm-hmm.
However, we have grown. So, someone... the age of you guys, you would take it nigga. Okay, when I was younger, there was no A on the end of it. It was
mm-hmm.
ER.
Hard ER.
R-E-R, right.
Yeah.
At the end of it, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And there was no, you know. Now, I will say this. Even with that said, I come from the same society, the same culture as you guys. So if I hear someone other than a black use that, then, yeah, I'm going to get upset about it. You know, now, my response will not be the same way that it would have been when I was younger, or perhaps the way that you guys would respond to
mm-hmm.
it now. Right at this particular point, I would just blow it off, laugh at it, and attribute it to ignorance.
Yeah.
You know, and that's, you know, kind of where we are now. You know,
right.
And I think we're evolving to that. I will say this, you guys deserve kudos because you have taken it. You have taken it and brought it to another level. That's great.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. The only thing we have control over is not the use of the word. We would never, ever control the use of the word, who uses the word. What we have control over is how we respond to it.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Yep. And you guys, your generation has taken it to the level where you don't quite respond the same.
Right.
Because that was an instant fight when I was your age.
Yeah.
Right.
It was an instant fight.
All right, podcast over. He killed it. Yeah, and so going piggybacking off of what you said about the context of words and how we give the words meaning, Ta-Nehisi Coates had the perfect summarization, and Diane, you responded to this when I posted it. He had the perfect explanation for, you know, the usage of the N-word and how there's always words that are exclusive to groups, and for the most part, people respect that, but when it comes to the N-word, it's a little different conversation. So, the examples he used was like, my wife calls me honey. There's a relationship there. If a strange woman comes up and calls me honey, that's a problem.
Yeah.
There's no relationship there.
Right.
My wife, with her friends, they call each other the B word. I don't try to join into that conversation. Even gay people, they call each other faggots.
Yeah.
But if a non-gay person came up and called them faggot, it's a problem.
Right.
So we all have these instances. My grandmother, right? Within our family, we call her a certain name. She does not like it when people outside our family call her that name. You don't know me like that is her reaction. Like, call me by my government name. We don't have that relationship to call me by my nickname. So we have all these examples of, you know, in society where we have words or names that are exclusive to a group. But when it comes to the N-word, people seem not to understand that. And Diane, I want to come to you. And what's your opinion on why that is? Why do you think people are such, like, trying to grab at the N-word and everybody wants a piece of that word?
I don't totally understand it. Mm-hmm. I think that a lot of the times when we're having this conversation, people are so quick to get defensive and, well, why can't I say it? And, mm-hmm. you know, I have black friends and, you know, I do this and I do that. And they have all these reasons why they feel like they're entitled to say it. Mm-hmm. And I don't totally understand that. I've kind of had this conversation with, you know, multiple people. Some people slowly seem to get it. Some people never really do. I think a lot of the time it has to do with their proximity to black people. Like, I know we were talking about, like, in the Latina community, a lot of them, if they grow up in the similar areas and they feel comfortable with their black friends and they say it, you know, they feel, I guess, entitled to use it.
Yeah.
I don't know it, like, personally, I don't know if I 100% agree with that. I'm kind of on board with the idea that, you know, if you and your ancestors and your family never had to experience that generational oppression and trauma that comes with the weight of that word, mm-hmm. I personally feel like you shouldn't say it.
Right.
That's just me. I know there's a lot of conversations about that. Mm-hmm. But I'm not really sure why people feel so entitled to say it. I think in some instances, what I grasp is it's like a sense of belonging kind of thing. Like, they want to feel like they're a part of that group. They want to feel like they've gone through that. Yeah, a part of the culture. But I still think, you know, you can be a part of a group without using a word that carries weight like that. And it's hard for people to cut out. You know, they sing along to songs and they use it casually with friends. And, you know, when it comes to, hey, like, you know, I think we shouldn't say that anymore, all of a sudden it's this huge thing, like, oh, you know, what am I supposed to say? Like, I don't know, maybe not the N-word, you know? Like, so I don't know. I think there's a lot of reasons that people feel like they can do it and they feel entitled to do it. But bottom line, personally for me, is, you know, if you didn't experience any of that and you haven't gone through that, you know, maybe don't sing along to it in your Snapchat story and don't try to defend your use about it and whatever.
Continuing off your point about fitting in. So hip-hop culture is the culture. Everything that's deemed cool comes from hip-hop culture, and that's across the globe, period. Is the biggest influence on what is deemed to be cool. So when you're a kid growing up, you want to fit into that. Like, you think that that's like the status, right? So Langston.
Of course. What's up?
The artiste here.
Yes.
The rapper here. the short film writer, the actor to be, Oscar winner.
Of course, his name everything.
Yeah, I'm speaking it out there, man. Speaking into existence. But can you expound on that point about the influence of hip hop culture?
I mean, that word has always been prevalent in a lot of the songs dating back to like the 80s. Mm-hmm. And since then, it was never, you brought up Cardi B earlier, yep. But since then, it's never really been a problem with non-black people saying that word until now, you know? Because mm-hmm. Fat Joe used it.
Yeah. There was a thing I posted on Insta Story about Blackish. Yeah. And it was like, what can Latinos say the N-word? And it was like, I forgot what you remember. Said, but it was like not the lighter complexion, like Fat Joe and you know the whole terror squad. They can say it, like Puerto Ricans.
They all said it. We all kind of like, all right,
not
cool.
Not the Mark Anthony type of Latino. But, you know. See, if it's Fat Joe, he good. You know?
Fat Joe, big point. Everybody says it.
Yeah,
but everybody would be like, yeah, but that white guy can't say it though.
Yeah,
I just feel like white people, y'all created the word to oppress the black person, mm-hmm. So you have zero rights to that word.
You know what white people would say to you, though? You know, I was telling Sean this earlier. They would be like, we created the word. It's our word. How are you going to tell us not to use the word that we made up?
It's like, no. It's like freedom of speech and everything. It's like, if he's not black, why can he use it? Why can't Nav say it? Like, he's South Asian.
I mean, they have freedom of speech. They're not going to jail for using it.
Yeah, of course.
But that doesn't mean there's no consequences for saying it.
Right.
Like I was saying earlier, like, so if you grew up in, let's say you're white or Hispanic, right, and you grew up in this community just full of black people, right, mm-hmm. and, you know, you use it, you say, pardon my French, nigga, and mm-hmm. you got to realize that once you step out of that friend circle, the next black person that you see, it's going to be different because, one, go back to what you're saying about relationship.
Yep.
I don't know you. Mm-hmm. So who gives you the right to say that to me?
Right.
So.
I feel that because that's why, even now, I'm not even going to lie. We're having this conversation about the appropriateness of who should use it and who should not use it. But, you know, the relationships I have, a lot of the reason why I didn't care if they use the word is because I know, like, for a fact, when Trayvon Martin got shot by, you know, I knew that they would be on Facebook saying that was wrong. They would speak up for Black Lives Matter. So I was like, you know, but there was a relationship there.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? If somebody I don't know, then I'd be like,
there's consequences to it, you know? Right. And also kind of to segue with what Mr. Anthony was saying mm-hmm. about it's a different time, you know? Like my uncle, he's a Black Panther. So the way he may respond to that word may be completely different than my experience.
For sure.
You know? So it's like, it's all like a generational thing. I think we are normalizing it, but the thing with normalizing is, it's like the biggest thing I just said, it's like realizing the consequences of said word,
right.
You know?
Right.
Like you gotta, it's all about context.
So. Everything is about context, and that's where we were in this segment. Now we gotta go pay some bills, so we'll be back.
Hey guys, we have new merch up on the website. We have these dope All That hoodies. Go check them out at www.kyrieneveau.com. That's KYRIENEVEAUX.
All right, we're back, people. Okay, I want to have this conversation. And everybody can chime in as, you know, I won't signal one person. But what do you think about the elimination of the word? Now, there's been some leaders in the black community, the Jesse Jacksons, Al Sharptons of the world, who feel like eliminating the word nigga or nigger from the dictionary or from the vocabulary would do something. What do you guys think about that? I think that, like my uncle said earlier, that we give words power, and it's all about context, once again, because, okay, say you take out the word nigger. Nobody can use that ever again. Your mouth falls off or something when you use a word. Like, you can't use it again. But a white man coming up to me and calling me boy in a certain context, in a certain way, has the same effect as him coming up and calling me nigger. So chime in on that. What do you think about the elimination of the word?
As like, if you eliminate that word, just kind of segue what you were saying. If you eliminate that word, someone's going to come up with another word, another adjective to place on that. So, I mean, I don't see what that word
would do.
I love the word. But.
So, that, and then like you were joking, but your mouth's not gonna fall off. So how are you gonna make people not say the word?
Exactly. Yeah. It's gonna be really hard to you know, say that. Yeah. And I guess I think, you know, their comments might have been more so geared toward, you know, entertainers or rappers. Yeah. You know, just to not use the word and just use it.
So I mean that. So you want like a cancel culture?
Yeah, it's like
I cancel the N word.
Cancel it.
Yeah, which but, is, how's I that mean, gonna work?
So like if somebody says it, you just like, oh, they don't get any media anymore.
You're
yeah. I guess. I
even know. Somebody black, like, oh, he said nigga.
Yeah.
I can't cut him off.
I just feel like it would be really hard. Like, that's not something that happens really overnight. Mm-hmm. You know, I think that is it'll take generations to kind of weed out of the vocabulary.
It's too
I
much
think
a
it
part
would,
of the culture.
Exactly. Yeah. I think in the hip hop culture, I mean, since it was created, that word has been here, you know. Yeah. And I think that's why when it ends with an A, we're more casual about it, and mm-hmm. we're like, oh yeah, that's my N word. But if there's a hard ER at the end, I think everybody can agree, like, energy feels different. You're like, yeah. ooh, hold on a second.
Yeah. And I think yeah. that with the ER has already been pretty much, like, if you say that, yeah, you're canceled.
Yeah,
canceled
like,
already, yeah.
But with the A, it has such a different connotation yeah. that it's like, well,
because
why
it's
did
so
they say
rooted
it, yeah.
in hip-hop at this point.
Yeah,
right?
It really is.
It would be really hard to take something that's been being said in songs and in the culture, and it's so embedded. And just get rid of it. I mean,
yeah.
you can't, I can't imagine what hip hop culture would be like if you mm-hmm. just tried to get rid of it.
It'll be, yeah. I don't it's, know.
We'd have to eliminate the legacy of a lot of people.
Yeah.
I mean,
you could still have hip hop right. without the word. I don't
you
think
could.
It's
yeah.
It'll be
I'm
like
not,
profane rapper.
It's gonna be
kids'
bop.
You definitely can.
I don't like profane rap.
Does anyone y'all know that used to say the word and maybe now doesn't?
You can speak for yourself because, you know, you said you might slip up and say it in like when you listen to a song sometimes, but then you check yourself.
Yeah, so it will never slip out in front of a black person. Mm-hmm. Like, my mind is wired. That's never going to slip out. But if I'm in the middle of singing Hit 'Em Up by Tupac, I will do my best, but it might just come out just because it's you're in the moment of the song and you're like, yeah, and all of a sudden you think you're Tupac and you're just rapping the song and it comes out. And after I'm like, you shouldn't have done that. So I do take those mental notes, but, you know, those are moments where I'm by myself. But I think even in those moments where you're by yourself, you need to remind yourself, like, I'm by myself, but this is still not an appropriate word, period. Yeah. You know what I mean? Like, yeah. to kind of train yourself to get it out of your system.
I'm kind of split on the like when it's in a song, like when these artists come out with the music and they write these lyrics, it's they want people to say these lyrics like that, like, and I get that it's the culture and stuff, but if people are listening to the music and they're appreciating the culture, mm-hmm. I don't see what's wrong. They're saying it in the context of the song, so I don't see an issue with that.
So even like at a concert too, yeah. like. With that, with like a thousands of
I
people.
Mean, if they're like, it gets to the word and they like turn to you and say it, like, yeah, that might be a problem. But if they're
What's
just
up, my nigga?
like that YG song, like, my nigga, like, there's like thousands of people saying it, white, Hispanic, Asian, everybody.
I mean,
and so you don't think, I don't think, like I said, I will never be like, you said the word nigga in a rap song, you're a racist.
Exactly.
I don't think you feel that way.
Exactly.
But a lot of the problem is America loves black culture, hates black people.
Yeah.
You see all of these things that are in popular culture now that especially came from black women.
Right.
The nails, all that. I got pushback on this when I put this on Instagram too. But the nails, the colored hair, the hairstyles, all that, the big hoop earrings, the butts. For the longest, that was called ghetto.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm. The full lips.
Yeah.
Like, oh, you know, black women, you know, got demeaned for that for a long time. And now, Kim Kardashian is cool.
Yeah.
But when it's on a black woman, it's.
Yeah.
I remember, I mean. The hooped earrings with your name on it, mm-hmm. the, like, crazy colored nails with jewels and stuff like that. I mean, if you just look back, I think maybe 20 years, 10 years, 15 years, like, you see movies from that time, and there's that black woman character that they treat like a character, like a cartoon. Like, she's overly exaggerated. She has this very, like, ghetto accent. Her nails are crazy. Her earrings are super big hoops. Like, she has a big butt. But now, that's what all the Instagram girls look like.
Yeah.
They all got big boobs. They all got big lips. They all got big butt. They all look the same.
Yeah. Yeah.
But all that comes from black women. But they'll never recognize that because they're like, oh, but that was ghetto. We're doing it fashion.
Even Kim, when Kim Kardashian West was on was on Instagram, and she had cornrows, and she said she was inspired by some
movie.
White lady. I'm like, God. You know where this comes from. You know what I mean? It's like, why? Like, come on.
Yeah, you're just trying to take something that you saw someone do first, and you're trying to take credit for it.
Yes.
That's lame. We don't like that.
Exactly.
Cancel Kim K.
Exactly.
Where we are now is... realistically, black people are victims of our own swag. You know, we want to keep the good things, and things that we don't like, we want to throw them out. You know, back to your original question, has anyone ever used the word and decided not to use it again? Richard Pryor.
Yes, I was going to bring that up too. Go ahead.
Good prince. After his visit to Africa.
Yep.
And he said that he would never use it again. I don't know whether he ever did or not.
Yeah.
But that's what he said.
Yeah, because he was saying that... he had made a trip to Africa. You know, like, he made a mental note of the fact that he didn't say the N-word not one time while he was in Africa. It wasn't even a part of his thought process to say the word. You know what I mean? So he was like, how can I go back to America and call my brother a nigga? Yeah. You know what I mean? So that's one person that had that transformation with the word. I'm not sure if I can think of anybody else personally.
Well, Malcolm X had a similar experience. It wasn't so much with the word nigga.
Yeah.
But when he went to Africa, he came back and he decided. Malcolm X was, prior to going to Africa, he was definitely anti-white.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah.
After going there, he came back, you know, he saw everyone as being the same because he saw his brothers, you know, in every race.
Mm-hmm.
So he's another one. The word never came up, but the thought behind it did.
Yeah. So I had an interesting thought. My best friend Sean there is Nigerian. Mm-hmm. And I just had this thought recently when this controversy started happening. And it was like mind-blowing to me that this could be like a thing. So, you know what? I was sitting there thinking about like, okay, like the appropriateness of who can use the word or who should use the word. And I'm thinking, and for the longest time, I would never be like, an African person cannot use that word. But then I thought about it because I was like, okay, I'm talking about Afro-Latina. I'm talking about Latinas who are very close to our community, but some of them feel a certain way. So I was like, maybe they shouldn't use it. And the same thing goes for Africans.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
They absolutely feel a way about black American people.
Yeah. Yep.
That's weird.
And that was mind-blowing by that thought because I was like, I would never like have that thought like maybe Africans should not say the word.
And, and that's not even like a recent thing. That goes back to this Africa with slavery and everything.
Yeah.
Africa, we know today, all these countries were made by Europe and white people. Those aren't the countries of Africa. There's all these different sectors of ethnicities within Africa that create what should have been the nations of Africa.
Yeah.
And there's plenty of racism between those ethnicities.
Mm-hmm.
And the type of hate that comes behind the N-word, they had similar things in those communities. I mean, I don't know the language, but...
Right.
Kaffir.
Yeah, and South Africa, yeah. That's one of
them. Yeah. Wow. That was interesting, though.
Yeah, that honestly never occurred to me until you just said that right now. It's something that I guess... Like, when you said it, it made sense. Mm-hmm. I guess I have this, like, kind of a little bit of an awareness about what those intercultural tiffs might be, but you put that, wow. I was like...
And with the Afro-Latinos and Latinos, that also goes back into history because Spain created caste systems in the colonies they made. They had, you know, white Spaniards were at the top, and then you just go down list.
Usually
the darker you got.
Every spectrum, the darker people are oppressed.
Exactly. Right. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Across the board.
Yeah. They had specific names for each of them, too. Of course, the one for the darkest sounded much like the N-word.
Right. Do you guys, because you're Filipino and you're Latino, do y'all have words within y'all, your guys' culture that are, like, the N-word? That's like exclusive. That was used to oppress you, but you like redirected the word.
In the Philippines, they it used to be flip. Not a lot of people are familiar about it. I didn't really know about it until I was a teenager. But it used to stand for effin' little island people. And it was like a derogatory term for Filipinos, just a lot of people that come from those islands, you know, the tan Asians, because in Asia, they are like the bottom of the, you know, they're the, I've heard people literally say like the Mexicans of Asia, the lowest, you know, whatever, however they put it. So I've heard people take flip, and now it's like, I am older and more aware of my culture, and if people, you know, oh, are you a flip? Like, if it's another Filipino saying it to me, it's fine. But I've had a couple of other people, like white people, say it, and I'm kind of like, okay, that's not cool. Like, but there is actually a cool restaurant that just opened. It's like called Flippin' Patties. And it's like it's Filipino dudes who opened it. And so they took that word and turned it into a cool restaurant. So, I mean, people are reclaiming it in a way. The food's really good. I'm not endorsed, but I eat there like once a week.
What's it called again?
It's called Flippin' Patties.
So when you go to Flippin' Patties, just go say, if you're not Filipino, just say, I'm going to In Patties. And we will take a break.
One day I'm in my room watching Gary Vee videos, and he brings up this podcast platform called Anchor. Now, keep in mind, for the longest, I had been wanting to start a podcast of my own, but things like cost and having to buy equipment and finding a studio to record at, all of those things forced me to procrastinate on actually starting one. So when I clicked on this video, I was mind blown and so glad that I did. Anchor is so convenient. You can record right there from your phone, and it sounds like you have professional equipment. They distribute your podcast for you to every podcast platform, Spotify, Apple, Google Play, you name it, they have it. They have sponsorships. You can make money. Anchor is a lifesaver for anybody who's worried about having to spend a lot of money getting started on your own podcast. Guys, go to anchor.fm and get signed up today if you're wanting to start a podcast.
Okay, so Diane told us a little bit about the word flip, right? Flip in her culture, that was, you know, your word used to oppress them or, you know, to demean them, and then they turned it around on their head. So Lorena and Andrew, I wanted you guys to talk about words within your culture. So I'll start with you, Lorena.
So, being Colombian, I don't really know any derogatory words for black people, but that might also stem from the fact that my family doesn't use them.
No. I mean, like, so derogatory words towards you
me?
Guys, to your race.
Yeah.
And did you flip that word anyway?
No. I honestly don't think we've had anything that's been exclusively for Colombians, and then we've kind of taken it, like a word, and we've kind of taken it and making our thing.
Okay.
Word wise, you know, I think culture wise, we've had a kind of stigma that we've kind of been like, okay, if that's how you're going to see us, then there's people that embrace that. But word wise, I can't really think of anything.
What about you, Andrew?
So for Mexicans, definitely beaner, wetback, that kind of stuff. I know, among my Mexican family, they joke about the word, not really accepted it as much as like nigga would be accepted, but just as a joke, you know, like, oh, like beaner, like, I don't know. It's just,
so if I came up to one of your uncles or whatever and said that word, what would happen?
There'd be an issue.
Which is why I don't understand why people don't understand why black people have a problem with other races saying nigga. It's right there, and especially, like, if you're on Twitter, and, you know, like, they'll put the Gina Rodriguez thing, and somebody will quote it and say, I don't know, why y'all making such a big deal about the word nigga? It's not what the hard E are. It's in rap music, blah, blah, blah. And if you click on the profile picture, 100% of them are Mexican, or Hispanic, or white.
Yeah, and I see your point, but at the same time, like I said,
It's not as prevalent
as, and it's not like, I don't just go up to a Mexican guy and say, hey, what's up, my beaner?
Right. Yeah. It's not as prevalent. Which is even more of the point to why you shouldn't probably use the word nigga, because so much history behind it. Like, it's so, It's probably the most heinous word in the human dictionary.
But I do think, like, the fact that we have created such a distinction between mm-hmm. the ER and the A, yeah, it's become a different word.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's become a different word. And like we were talking about earlier with Negro, mm-hmm. like, it became a different word. Mm-hmm. Like, it was used one way, and then it became a different word. And the basis of it is, you know, what white people call black people in a derogatory term. But also what the basis of it is, in the Spanish language, negro is mm-hmm. means black.
It means black, yeah.
And that's really where it came from.
Yeah.
And then, like Kendrick Lamar's talked about before, mm-hmm. you know, negus meant yeah. king.
Right.
There's been other, like, we decide what we want to take from it. Mm-hmm. And we decided we're going to take it and make it mean brother. And now that we've made it good, we're telling people, oh no, like, you can't use it because it still means bad, but it means good to us. Mm-hmm. And I absolutely agree with that point. Mm-hmm. But I know on
you
the
outside, you think it's confusing for other people?
For on the outside looking in, it's very confusing for them. Okay.
I think that's why right now there's such controversy about
right,
it.
Right. Yeah.
Because people are unsure how they're supposed to feel about it. Am I supposed to still take it as that derogatory term with the ER that it used to be? Or am I taking it as the word now that we kind of just have that was brought up with hip hop culture that is just part of this new culture that was created? And we use it like how girls use the B word with each other. Like, we're like, hey, B.
Yeah.
But in all reality, you mentioned earlier about that video you posted about like the guy and his wife and his
right.
whatever.
Relationship.
Context. Yeah. I think if he just came up to one of them and called her the B word, everyone would be confused.
Yeah.
But I think if he said it like jokingly, like he made like a stupid joke using the B word, referring to them as a group of B words, yeah. maybe it wouldn't be taken like, oh, that was fine. But it also wouldn't be like, what did you just say to us?
Yeah.
Because it's also been a word that, I mean, women have also taken has been like, okay,
that's why
context, that's what we are now.
Yeah. Context, you know what I mean? So context. Key.
So it's just that's why I think that the N word ending in A is just so controversial, because we're unsure of how we're really supposed to feel because of the yeah. history of mm-hmm. the word. But then people want to just forget about the history and just be like, well, it's just a word now. But it's just like, yeah, it's just a word, but it came from somewhere, and that's yeah. where the issue lies.
Yeah, I like agree with all of that, and I also just think that it makes it a lot less confusing to when you find yourself wanting to say it or wanting to call someone it or whatever, you know, does this apply to my culture and my history specifically? Like, if the answer is no, maybe don't use it, find another word. If you've been using it, it's never too late to be like, you know, hey, maybe I was wrong, like, you know, I can change. Like, people are changing all the time. You were talking about how the word changed, you know, so many times, and it's true, but I still think that the roots of it, you know, you can't ignore the roots of it and the history of it. And I think that's the issue, that with it becoming more casual, people are just, oh, well, it means this now. And it's like, but you can't forget what mm-hmm. it meant.
Exactly.
Right. So I want to save this last question for my uncle. So you grew up in the Negro era, when the word Negro or color was being used.
I did.
The word nigga got introduced to you in your 20s.
Early 20s.
Early 20s through hip-hop. What was your reaction when you first heard the word nigga and it was being used in an endearing way? What was your reaction?
Okay, when I initially heard it, you know, I remember feeling that these people should eliminate that. Mm-hmm. They don't have the right to use it, even blacks. Because it was a derogatory word. As I grew, I realized that we had taken something that was a negative and turned it into a positive, okay? And again, I'm talking about the resiliency of humans, of our people. Mm-hmm. And I liked the way we responded to that. So, you know, all of a sudden, the bite that the word had at one time, it no longer had that bite.
Right.
So I thought that was very good for you guys, you know, younger generation. Mm-hmm. It taught us some things. You know, I will say one thing about the use of the word. Early when I was probably 19 or whatever. And the job that I worked, it was predominantly male occupation, the job that I was on at the time. Mm-hmm. And I stayed there 36 years, so I can look at the evolution of it. Okay, in the 80s, the guys that used the word, white guys I'm talking about, okay, what it did is it allowed conversation. So, you know, with that dialogue being allowed because of that word, we were able to grow. And then as years went on and the PC police came around and no one could use it on the job because they didn't lose the job.
Yeah.
Okay, well now the word wasn't used, but there was less understanding between the races. Because once that word is thrown out, it showed your heart, but it didn't show that your heart could change. And a lot of people, okay, based on using that word or whatever, their heart changed because, you know, other people talk to them. Now we kind of at the point, you don't know what's in a person's mind, mm-hmm. you know, because the word can't be used, okay? The PC police are alive and well.
Mm-hmm.
Sure.
I read on Twitter that this Hispanic guy was commenting on this situation, and he said that, you know, he grew up with a black friend. You know, he had been using the N-word all his life pretty much. And then one day, his black friend, you know, sat down with him and really explained what that word is, what it meant to black people. Right. And the Hispanic guy said he just never used the word again. And I think we can learn from that on a broader scale is that we as a society have to learn to respect each other's cultures, each other's boundaries, each other's wishes. It's just as simple as that.
Yeah.
And that's the way to, you know, live in harmony. I love Hispanic culture. I love to dance to Hispanic music. I love everything about Hispanic culture. But, you know, if something happens with Hispanic people, I'm right there speaking up for it also. So I'm not, you know, going into the culture just to take from it. And been like, ah, I hate Mexicans. You know what I mean? But, you know, here I am singing Selena. And I mean, no, that's not what I do. So I think we should make an effort to learn about each other's cultures, each other's backgrounds, where we come from. Because once you really get to learn the background of a person, you really understand who they are. And then you start to learn that you're more alike than you are different, because there's so many things, especially in Hispanic culture, that y'all do exactly like we do in black culture.
Yep.
So just lastly, a word of advice. If your black friend asks you not to say the N-word around them, just don't use it. If you are going to use it and your black friend is cool with it, just use it within, you know, the environment of where that you're comfortable, or the people that's comfortable with you using it are there. Mm-hmm. Don't use it when around black people you don't know.
Or on Instagram.
Yeah, on Instagram, you know, for millions of people to see, you know. Yeah. Just let's be respectful. Let's respect each other's cultures. Let's learn each other's cultures. And just let's be better. This conversation was about language, but it was about so much more. Thank you, Andrew. Thank you, Diane. Thank you, Lorena. Thank you, Langston. Thank you, Uncle Anthony. We're out.